Thanks for joining us today at City Life. We believe today's message will empower you and point you towards Jesus. But remember that church is so much more than a message you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life, in person or online.
Well, we are kicking off a new series, Heart for the House. Everyone say Heart for the House. Just makes me know you're alive. That's great. So Heart for the House, gratitude is kind of the overall theme. Gratitude for God's church. And my name is JD. I'm part of the City Life team here, and I'm excited to kick this off. And I'm also going to try and tie this series into last series we just finished, Spheres, because there's something so important about how does being part of Sunday help me on Monday? Right? That's pretty relevant. I think that's important for us. So my question is, do you have a heart for the house? You know, some of you, it's like, absolutely. Some of you are like, I don't know yet. I'm still figuring all this out. But I am so thankful for Jesus. So thankful for this church, where he placed me and where I was raised. Been part of this church for 26 years now, since I was one. No, I'm just kidding. Since I was 18, you can do the math. I've been on staff for 21 years. I oversee media and Voltage Kids Church, and I'm a family pastor, and so I'm just filled with gratitude, and so this is a pretty easy series for me to kick off, if I'm being honest. I was pretty pumped, ready to go for this, and we have so much to be grateful for a church over these last 32 years, 32 years of City Life, and some of you have been around, as we heard, for much of it, which is pretty exciting, and so, you know, when I look out at the crowd, or I don't just see a building, I don't see just a bunch of people, I see individual stories. I see restored marriages, I see addictions that have been broken, I see people just, like, relationships formed, I see freedom in so many stories as I get to know those stories, which is pretty awesome. And so today, I want to share part of my story, and how I believe that fits in with God's bigger story. And I'm going to back up my journey and all I've learned with God's word, because that's what we really need. And I just, as I was thinking, like, what would I share? My testimony. It's like, oh, and as I'd go, it'd just be like, here's a verse, here's a verse, here's a verse. Because God's story, that's what we're really all a part of. And so, all right, so I'm gonna do that. I hope it's helpful. Well, like most kids, I was born at a very young age, which is a good thing. And so I was raised in a Christian home all my life. I've gone to church my entire life. It's all I've really known. I gave my life to Jesus when I was 5. I remember being in the kitchen and asking my mom, who is Jesus really? I can still clearly remember that. And then praying the prayer and meaning it and being like, oh, I want to follow this Jesus. Moved to Leduc after my parents got divorced. In my teen years, like, I wasn't like a bad kid, you know, at least like on paper. I just had no real connection to Christ. It was pretty just kind of lifeless in many ways. When I went to church, I wouldn't think about Jesus that much during the week, but then I would show up at church and I would sit in the back row and I would read Archie comics. Where's my mom? I don't know why you let me do that, but don't let your kids read Archie comics. Mom, why did you let me read Archie comics in church? I was not paying attention. I should have been. But I just sat there. I read Archie. It meant nothing to me, but I was wearing the label. Hey, I'm a church-going, Jesus-believing person. Now, there was nothing wrong with the church that I was attending. I just chose not to let it mean anything to me. I chose. I was like, meh, I don't care. Revelation 3:15-16. I know all the things you do, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you are like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now, I don't recall reading the Bible, and I know my mom prayed with me every night, and that was really important. But I just had no real drive to know Jesus. I was this insecure kid. I was a follower, not a leader. I kept to myself. And the way I like to describe it is I lived my life on autopilot. It was just click. I'm not going to think about anything. I'm not planning for anything. Let's just see where this goes. Autopilot. And so if you asked me, I would have told you, yes, I was a Christian, but I was not following Jesus. Not really. Matthew 15:8. People honor me with their lips, but their hearts are nowhere near me. When I was 18, I went to visit my dad in North Dakota, and we went to his church's youth group. He took me and my sisters, and okay, we're going to go to this youth group. And so they walk in, and I remember walking to the front doors, and all of a sudden I just stopped, and I just started crying. And I, like, couldn't remember the last time I ever cried. I was on autopilot. I had no emotion in my life really of anything. And I just started crying, and I was like, what is happening? And so my dad's like, you know what, why don't you and I, we're going to go across the street, we're going to grab pop, we're going to sit down on a picnic table, and let's just talk about this. And I remember that was a moment where it was just like these floodgates opened, and all of a sudden it was just like, what am I doing with my life? Why don't I care about anything? Why is none of this real to me? Like, what is even happening? It was like a moment. And I know now that that was the Holy Spirit just poking me. Like, just kind of getting to the place where he's just like, I didn't know I was ready for it, but he was just like right in the ribs, just, wake up. Ephesians 5:14, awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light. And that was a light bulb moment for me. And we come back, and I go to youth. I don't remember what they talked about or anything like that, but I do remember afterwards they were having a campfire. And so I'm sitting around the campfire with kids my age, so I'm 18, sitting around with other teens my age, and I'm listening to them tell their story. I'm listening to them talk about Jesus, and I'm like nobody's making you say it. Like, you mean this. Like, you guys are the real, you love Jesus. And there was just something to me that was like, that's what I want. I don't want to just do church. I don't want to whatever. I want that. I want to be all in like that. You're not going to be an afterthought anymore, God. You will be my Lord. Romans 10:9-10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Man, that night, I repented. I did. I just remember having a moment. It's just like, God, I might not have a list of I wasn't a crack dealer or like all these other, you know, like, oh, the bad things. You know, I was just like, God, I repent for ignoring you for 18 years of my life. Like, I knew about you. Was this not real to me? And I just repented that night. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That was my moment, but what do we do after that? Well, I did what probably many of you did. If I'm really going to follow Jesus, I probably need to get back to church. And again, I was going to a church with my mom. My sisters were already here. But and again, there was nothing wrong with that church. I just personally had no connections there. There weren't many other teens. I just knew I needed a fresh start. And so I started coming to the youth here when we were Word of Life Center. That was our name before. And then started coming to church on Sunday. I still remember my first Sunday. Pastor Monica was preaching with her big, poofy, curly, blonde hair, and she made all of us stand up and stand on our seats and face the back of the room, and we declared either like a verse or some phrase or something. I don't even know if you remember this, but I remember I'm like standing on my chair facing the back of the room, and I'm like, this is so weird. I love it. I'm in. Like, this is home. This is great. I still remember that. That was a long time ago. And so I got plugged in. But I think that the thing that really made the difference for me was Dennis Porter. And I don't know if Dennis is in the room. He probably isn't gonna put up his hand, but he's the silver-haired fox that you see out in the parking lot directing you guys and stuff. I love that man. He's my mentor. And he mentored me. I don't know what he saw in me. I don't know if you guys made him do it or what, but he just was like, this 18-year-old kid, I'm gonna take him under my wing. And I'm going to meet with him every Tuesday after he's done work, and we're just going to go through the Bible. I'm going to disciple him. I'm going to teach him. I don't know why I did it, but I'm very, very grateful that he did. And he just started to work through things in my mind where I just was like, oh, this is what I've always thought. And Romans 12:2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. One of the things Dennis would always say to me, you know, I would start to say something, and I've always, just something about, like, I don't know, I guess what I believed or things that were wrong, okay? And I just, like, I was a really insecure kid. I had very low self-esteem, and so I would just say things about myself. And he would turn to me, and he would say, shut up! Oh, I got told shut up a lot. He'd be like, shut up. Don't say that about yourself. That is not true. And let me show you. Flip, 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 flip. This says that you are more than an overcomer through Christ. And he would just like quote scripture at me, and he would just tell me to shut up. Man, who has permission like that in your life? We all need someone who can tell us to shut up. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. So I was discipled with the Bible. It convicted me. It changed me. It wasn't just some concepts or I listened to some podcasts. I got into the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Oh, I don't want to know what's wrong in our lives. That's why I don't read the Bible. Get over it. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So the scripture prepares us. Now, God was rewiring me. He was preparing me for something. I did not know what, but I did trust the process. And I really think the process meant that I needed to work through a lot of personal baggage in my life. We all have baggage. Again, whether you had a really awful, like, that's not the measure of, like, you have baggage because you did this, this, and this. No, I had baggage because I was so indifferent to God. In some ways, I think that's worse. God said it, right? I already read the verse. Hot or cold, I'll spit you out if you're in the middle. Like, I can't do anything with lukewarm. And so I had a lot of stuff to work through, especially when you've been living in the enemy's camp. And again, I was wearing the label of a Christian, but really, I was living in the enemy's camp. If he can just suppress me and make me not do anything for God, he's got me. He's my master. And I had to step out of his camp and get into God's camp. Romans 6:22, but now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. Now, sanctification is just a fancy word of, it's the process of becoming like Jesus. So I had to learn how to become like Jesus. I had to clean up my heart and my mind and let him change me. And he asked me to give up stuff. I don't know if you've had to do this. Yeah, everyone's nodding. You know what I had to give up? WWF wrestling. You laugh, but Monday Night Raw was the most important part of my entire week. I loved wrestling so much. And I remember the day I was leaving my friend's house, walking back to my house, and it was so clear, this thought in my head, it's just like, give up wrestling. And I was just like, oh, God, that's like my most important thing, da, 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 da. And he's like, yeah, exactly. And so I just decided, okay, God, I will trust you. If I said I'm all in, and you start asking me to change things, I need to actually practice what I preach. I need to live up to what I said. So, okay, I'll give it up. It was hard, but I did. And I look back and I'm like, even if there was no specific reason, just the fact that he asked me to do something, I said yes, that's probably good enough. But I do recognize a lot of things where it's like, okay, maybe I see what that was feeding in me right then and stuff, which is not good. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. As I let go of old ways, it also meant letting go of old friendships, which was really hard too, because my best friends, we're all kind of church kids, same kind of thing. We did it, but it didn't necessarily really mean anything to us. But now I'm like, I'm going this way with Jesus, and this is amazing. Guys, come with me. And, you know, for a little bit, they came to youth or whatever. But eventually, as our paths just started to change, it's kind of like, I don't know, it'd be like if something's getting wider and you're straddling and you're like, I got to make a choice pretty quick. And I had to make the choice, do I stick with my friends that are just still kind of just meh, whatever, or do I want to do what I know my heart is calling me to, what God is calling me to? And so I had to choose to step over and let go of friendships that had meant the world to me growing up. And it was hard, but God did honor it with new friends that were deeper and exactly what I needed in that time. But I had to let go of something very difficult. Mark 8:34 and 35, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. So good. I got baptized. You know, I'm all in. Let's do this. Let's get baptized. I had all the excuses. I don't know what yours was or is, but I'll say that. Baptism for me, I had to really fight through some excuses in my head and realize, okay, God, if this is the next step, then it doesn't matter if I have to step out of my comfort zone. And many of you would know what that's like. I've filmed hundreds of baptism interviews over the years now, and that is the common thread I see in people's stories. I waited because I was nervous about this, or I didn't know about this, and da-da-da. Whatever your excuse is, it is just an excuse. We actually don't have a good reason to just jump in with Jesus. For what it's worth, baptism services coming up soon. Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I remember that as well. Moments like that where I'm downstairs with Dennis and a couple guys in the youth room, and we're praying, and people are being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, and I want it really bad, but I'm just in my head, it's like, you don't deserve this. Again, that insecurity, that self-esteem stuff, just like, no. And it took three guys, 10 minutes of praying, and me saying, yabba-dabba-doo, over and over and over. Not, I am not kidding. They're like, Dennis is like, just say this, shut up. He told me to shut up first. And just say this, yabba-dabba-doo, yabba-dabba-doo, and then boom. And like, and then filled with the Holy Spirit, which was a beautiful, powerful moment. And so I've had big moments, okay, guys? I've had big moments in God's church, but if I'm honest, I think it's the little things that shaped me and prepared me for here, for this world, and that's what's really important. Now, all of us can sum up our story like this. I was, but God, and now. I was living on autopilot, but God woke me from my slumber and planted me in his church, and now every aspect of my life has been reoriented around him. So today's message is really just a love letter to Jesus. Gratitude for what he's done for me and through me in this house. John 2:17, passion for God's house will consume me. Man, if Jesus had a passion for the house of God, then I will too. I will too. So I just kept showing up. God's house is a place that I found answers where nothing else in the world could satisfy. Nothing else had what I needed. And so I just kept showing up. And, you know, some growth did happen organically, but lots of times I did get pushed into my destiny. I remember we're having a Sunday night prayer meeting, and I'm standing at the back and praying quietly to myself, but the microphone's at the front, and so people are praying, coming up, and they're praying things, and it was beautiful. Dennis prays something. Oh, Dennis, he prays something, and then he just holds on to the microphone, and he just walks around the room, and he walks past me, puts it in my hand, and walks away. Dennis! Well, what do I got? I got to pray now. So I prayed out loud for my first time. Hey, I was pushed into something, and it just broke something. It's like, okay, I can do this. Sometimes I had to be pushed into things. I was kind of a stubborn person, but God broke me out of my shell, and he really did use the church to do it. He really, really did. I was an introverted, insecure person who found confidence and discovered parts of me I never even knew were there. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Started doing things like silly youth videos with VHS record. Oh, it was terrible. But all these different things that we would start doing. Got out. I remember the first time I got to do my little shotgun message with some other people at youth. 7 minutes. Jesus is my superhero. That was my first message. I remember that. And just had these opportunities. And the deeper I planted my roots, the faster I sprouted. And God began to do some really good things. And so I volunteered my time because I just believed in the church and I loved the church. And I was like, I want to see this thing thrive. And so I just kept doing what I could until they basically were like, man, if you stop doing all this volunteering, we're going to be in trouble. So we better bring you on part-time. So I was like, yes, now I can do this. So I became part-time and then eventually full-time and been here for a long time. But it's pretty exciting. I remember media back then, though. Overhead projector. Anyone remember overhead projectors? Like the lamp, yeah, well, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are too young. You are blessed to not know what I'm talking about. And little by little, it just worked its way up, and I've been doing media now for like 25 years. Although I am hoping God will raise someone else up to do it, because I'm getting old. We need someone else. Then my pastors asked me to oversee kids' church. I've been doing Voltage for like 9 years now, and I've served in a lot of areas, you guys, and I've loved it all. I've been a greeter, I've done men's ministry, I've been a youth leader, I drummed for the church for like the first 9 years of my life. I led worship on two different seasons, guys. Again, you should be glad that season has passed. Pastor Mike specifically said, hey, just so you know, we really need your stage presence. Your microphone might be lower than everyone else's, but we really need your stage presence right now. I remember that. I was like, that cuts a little, but I get it. Okay. I'm just happy to be a part in any way that I can. Psalm 84:10, a single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Yes. Church is where I met my best friends, where I have my greatest memories, people I've known a long, long time, have great memories. This is the place I've cried the hardest, laughed the loudest, loved the deepest. It's where I met my wife, Joy, through church. I was obedient to God's word, Isaiah 55, 12, for you shall go out with joy. So I did. She loves when I use those kind of verses. I will say, Joy chose me over a much more qualified suitor. She had a choice between two people, and she chose me, and she told me it's because my love for God and the church. So, hey, chicks dig guys who have a heart for the house. Just saying, okay? So I've been married 21 years, and I have three kids, and we have a family motto that is based on something God told my wife, and it goes like this. If you take care of my house, I will take care of yours. That's something God told her, and that's something we have just grabbed onto. If you take care of my house, I will take care of yours. Man, I think that's anyone could grab that and run with that. I love what God loves, and he loves his church. It is his plan A and hope for the world. 2 Chronicles 2:5, the house we are building has to be the best, for our God is the best. Aw, Dennis Porter just messaged. I shouldn't be looking at my phone. Dennis Porter, thank you, JD. You're worth it and still are. Heart you. Aw, thanks, Dennis. Love you, buddy. Nobody else messaged me. I'm going to ignore my phone now. Last week, Pastor Monica wrapped up the series on spheres. And she was talking about this, you know, we're talking about our spheres of influence and where we take what God has done in us through this place and through our lives and take it out to our world. And she said this, and I really like this. We are inhaling the life of Jesus as God's body on Sunday through worship, the word, and connections. We are exhaling as a physical body on Monday, giving expression to God's presence throughout the world. Can we just practice deep breathing for a moment? Everybody take a deep breath in. We gather as believers, all as kids, celebrating together. And slow breath out as we spread out as God's ambassadors exactly where he wants us. Breath in. We're gathering. We're coming together. We're being encouraged. We're being reminded. Breath out. We head out into the world as God's ambassadors, with a heart for his house, with a heart for what he loves. And look, I know, I'm full-time at the church, okay, and that's not the norm in the room. In fact, there's only two people in this room that can say that. That's myself and Pastor Monica. We're the only full-time staff here. So you might be tempted. It's like, well, you just live in a bubble, JD. You know, all you do is church. And it's like, well, no, actually, I do video production on the side. I do caricatures at festivals and parties. I've written and illustrated books. And so, you know, that's something where I've been able to have an outsource for so much. Now, I take what God's done in me here, and I like to pour it out into every area of my life, as an author, an artist, as a member of my community, in business, in home, as a father or a husband. So much of who I am and what I do is because this church and my pastors saw and brought out my best and encouraged me to step out. And I deeply respect and honor my pastors, who are assigned by God to lead this family of believers. Hebrews 13, 17, listen to your leaders and submit to their authority over the community, for they are on constant watch to protect your souls, and someday they must give an account. Give them reason to be joyful and not to regret their duty, for that will be of no good to you. Now, I hope I've given them some reasons to be joyful. I do know I've given them reasons to regret their duty a couple times, like the time I lit fireworks in the church at 4 a.m. during a girl's sleepover. I can go into a whole thing, but it was awesome. They're having a sleepover. I snuck in. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Once I knew they were all asleep and lit off a bunch of fireworks and made everyone cry. It was the best. It was the best, you guys. But not that everyone agreed with me. But my pastors still love me. They believe me. They encourage me. And you're like, well, of course, you know, you work for them. They're your bosses. Of course you have to say that. You know, they're like, you have to say that or you'll get fired. I'm like, are you kidding? I've been fired like 8 times. Like, did you not just hear the fireworks story? I got fired very hard the next day. Don't come in again. I got lots. I just refuse to leave, you guys. I don't even care. Like, you could take it all away and I'd still be here. It's like, this is my home. This is what I want to do. I love God's house, and I love what it does in me and through me. Making videos, writing books, directing dinner theaters, drawing, public speaking, mentoring. This was all in me, but it was God through his church opening doors to help bring it out of me. And I'll say it like this. I want to just read something here. So this is a book I wrote called Ninjas with Feathers. It is for kids. It's like a middle grade novel. If you want one, talk to me. But I want to read this just from my acknowledgments at the end. To my pastors, Mike and Monica Prescott, you trusted me even when you shouldn't have and pushed me to do things I didn't think I could do. Someone once asked me, what's the secret to writing a kid's book? My answer was, serve faithfully in your church for 20 years and let God develop you in seemingly unrelated areas, such as writing sermons, directing dinner theaters, making random youth videos, and teaching kids. Then one day we'll all come together and you'll have everything you need to dive in. Simple, right? So God is always at work doing something in us when we are here, when we are gathering, whether you are serving on a team or connecting with people. He is weaving things so that you can take it out with you. Everyone say it's the little things. It's the little things. See, God has big plans for little things in our lives. The seeds in our life. I believe church is meant to be like a greenhouse where we can foster that and grow together with believers and find our spheres together. And, oh, you're in this area too, and be encouraged and grow so we can take that fruit out to the world. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received, okay, whatever your talent, your skill, whatever it is, to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. So basically, God's grace comes in many different forms, in many different ways, and we are meant to be stewards of that grace. God, you've given me this grace. What do I do with it? I'm going to take it with me through the talents or skills that I have. I'm good at building stuff. I'm good at words. I'm good at saying things good. Whatever it might be, whatever your skill or whatever, I'm going to let God's grace flow out through that. Galatians 6:4-5 is a great one. Make a careful exploration of who you are. And as you're, especially as you've been considering spheres and how is God working through me in my area and stuff, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. You're not that great. But don't compare yourself with others. You're not that bad either. Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. God has handed you something. What are you going to do with it? Now, everything we sing about, preach about, pray about, it's not just about Sunday morning. It's actually a Monday to Friday thing. And as we gather as a church, we're reminded that God is honest and just, so I don't lie and cheat to my friends. God is diligent and keeps his word, so I show up on time and I don't call in sick for me days. God is intentional, so when I'm home with my kids all day, I'm not doom scrolling. I'm actually being intentional to teach them and help them. God is loving, so I intentionally connect with that kid at school that no one else will talk to. God is holy, so I don't compromise when HR tells me to do or embrace something that doesn't line up with truth. Man, when you develop a heart for the house, I really believe it gives you new lenses through which to see the world, the whole world. I have a heart for God's house. God, I'm here. I'm gathered. You're doing something in me, and I'm getting new lenses so I can see the world differently. How do I go out with this? Church is not a country club where we hide from the world. Like, we made it Monday through Friday. Saturday, we made it, but we're here. Sunday morning, finally. Like, yes, we should love being here. But it's not like, I need this, and I can't handle the rest of my week. No, it's a rally point to celebrate and remember what we're commissioned to do. Say it with me if you know. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. And carry on the mission of Jesus to his world. That's our rally cry. That's what we're doing. And we're going to take that with us as we go. In our life, it's the little things that matter in the long run. I really believe that. You can have big God moments, you can have lots of different things, but it's the little things that will matter in the long run. Here's what I mean. Why do people stay planted in God's house and in his family their whole lives? Why are Joy and Evan still here? Why are many people still here? Well, it's not because of necessarily big, crazy miracles or I had this amazing experience. Those are great, but they are not all the time, you guys. It's the little things. I read my Bible. I stay connected to healthy people. I'm following Jesus in this way. I'm doing these little things that keep me going. Why do people walk away from church? And why do people give up on following Jesus? Even though a lot of people would say it's a big issue, it rarely is. It's not usually a big thing or whatever. It's usually little things. I just got lazy about reading my Bible. I started to wonder too much what people thought about me, and I didn't come around as much. It's little things. It's not typically big things. Oh, it's church hurt. The church hurt me. The church can't hurt you. People can hurt you. People in the church can hurt you. The church, God's bride, is perfect. So just saying, church hurt, not a real phrase in my opinion. People hurt, it's very real. But it's the little, and the little thing there would be someone said something mean to me on a Sunday or that disagreed with me in a good grief over the last few years who hasn't had that happen. And the little thing of, I let that get to me. And I let it stop me from staying connected because I couldn't get over what one person said. And so I ignored all the rest. I don't want to go out down on tangent. I'm just saying that it's the little things that ground us or uproot us. And we need to look at our soil. If the good things will grow out of us to be fruit, so we can be fruit in our spheres, we must check our soil. And I want to end with these scriptures. Matthew 13, 3-9. A parable Jesus said, once there was a sower who scattered seeds. One day he walked in a field scattering seeds as he went. Some seeds fell beside a road, and a flock of birds came and ate all of those seeds. So the sower scattered seeds in a field, one with shallow soil and strewn with rocks. But the seeds grew quickly amid all the rocks, without rooting themselves in the shallow soil. This is like a tongue twister. Their roots got tangled up in all the stones. The sun scorched these seeds and they died. And so the sower scattered seeds near a path, this one covered with thorny vines. The seeds fared no better there. The thorns choked them and they died. And so finally the sower scattered his seeds in a patch of good earth. At home in the good earth, the seeds grew and grew. Eventually the seeds bore fruit and the fruit grew ripe and was harvested. The harvest was immense, 30, 60, 100 times it was sown. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this is one of the few times where Jesus actually goes and doesn't just tell a parable and let you figure it out. He tells you exactly what he means. And this is what we need to know today, because my question to you is, where is your soil? What is happening? Are you in a good place right now with God and his church? Jesus says this, when someone hears the story of the kingdom and cannot understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away whatever goodness and holiness had been sown in the heart. This is like the seeds sown beside the road. You know people who hear the word of God and receive it joyfully, but then somehow the word fails to take root in their heart. It is temporary. As soon as there is trouble for those people, they trip. Those people are the seeds strewn on the rocky soil. And you know people who hear the word, but it is choked inside of them because they constantly worry and they prefer the wealth and pleasures of the world. Those people are like the seeds sown among thorns. The people who hear the word and receive it and grow in it, those are like the seeds sown on good soil. They produce a bumper crop 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. So is the word of God alive and active in you? Is it growing in you? And are you allowing church to be what it's meant to be? Not just a country club or some TED Talk absorption thing. Is this a greenhouse for what is needing to grow in you and out of you for the world? Because it's not just about just on Sunday. What do you do with this tomorrow? What is God saying in you right now for you tomorrow at work, at school, in your family, whatever that looks like? Can we embrace what God is doing here, speaking to his family, and take it to our spheres? That is what it means to have a heart for the house. Can we stand? I want to end with a prayer, and then we're just going to sing again, because it is so good to worship. It is so good to honor our God. We all need to continue to grow in allowing our hearts to be open and grow, but it's got to start with a surrender to Jesus. I already read all the verses. There's so many more, but lots of them. It's just like surrendering and submitting to Christ and saying, I need you to be leader of my life. Nothing good can really grow or happen until I do this. And so I just want to invite us, just close our eyes, and let's just pray together. And why don't you just repeat after me and say, Jesus, thank you that you came, you died, you rose again, and you brought new life and new creation into this world. I step into your story. Father God, thank you for making me. Thank you for filling me with purpose and skill. Help me find my sphere so I can walk in it. Holy Spirit, fill me afresh. I need your power. I need your guidance. I need your strength. I need your wisdom to live out what I believe. From this day forward, I'm not just wearing a label. I am all in with you. I want to follow you. I want a heart for what you care about. I will love your house. I will love your people. And I will love this world. And I will walk in your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. He is worthy. Let's worship him.
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc/next step or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor to play a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to connecting with you soon.